Going back to the text that was read to us earlier in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, it reads to us once again, "By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is patience." Every now and then, I like to read what is on people's clothing. Hey, you like that? If you see people have signs, you know, Black Lives Matter or some other saying that they have on their shirt. And I'm particularly interested in what babies have. Have you ever seen a cute little baby and they have the like little onesies or the little shirts? And they have all types of little sayings on them. Well, there's a couple that struck me. And I thought they were kind of hilarious. One of the little ones, he says, "I still live with my parents." Another one says that, "Hello world," and they have their name, "I'm Michael," or "I'm Michelle," or the case may be. And there's another one I like, it says, "I'm proof that daddy doesn't play video games all the time." Or there's another one, 50% daddy, 50% mommy, 100% perfect. You may have seen all these little sayings on children's shirts, and even what you see on adult shirts. But the one that intrigued me the most is a saying that most of you are probably familiar with. "Be patient. God isn't finished with me yet." Have y'all heard that saying before? And see, the assumption here in this particular saying is that be patient because I have not grown and I have not lived all my experiences. So even when I make mistakes and even when I do the wrong thing and even if I do the right thing, be patient with me. That's easier said than done, is it not? Because there's a whole lot of people that don't have any type of patience. There's a whole lot of people who want things right here and right now. And depending on where you are, the lack of patience can get you in a whole lot of trouble. So how is it in the world in which we live in that we can cultivate at least some type of patience within our lives? Jesus has the answer, I do believe, for us as we go forth from here. Now, there's a couple of things I need to let you know about patience. And some of these things you may be actually surprised about. Number one, people don't like to wait. People just don't like to wait. There's a story about a patient at the dentist's office. And so as this patient sat down, complained of an aching tooth, he asked the doctor, "Doc, how long will it take to pull this thing?" The doctor said, "Oh, don't worry. I can have it out in less than 10 minutes. And then the patient asked, "Well, how much is it going to cost?" And the dentist answered, "A tooth extraction is about $150. And then the man said, "$150 for 10 minutes of work? That's a bit steep, isn't it?" And the dentist replied, "Well, I can extract it very slowly if you prefer." People just don't like to wait. If we go to the store, people want to know, where is it that I can buy my stuff and get out? And it always happens that whenever you want to get in and get out of a store, something always happens, does it not? You get in there and then somebody wants to talk. And you're like, "I don't have time to talk. I've got to go." And then you're rushing, getting your money out and everything. I just can't understand why people are not patient. Even in the text, we find out that we not only are not patient with God, we're not patient with one another. There is the parable in the New Testament about the servant who owned the master so much money he could never repay him back. And when he went to the master forgave him for what he had done. But yet when that certain servant had left the master and found out that somebody had owed him a smaller percentage of what was owed to the master, he said, "I throw him in jail, because I'm going to punish him for what he has not paid me." People want things right here and right now. We live in a generation which you can get everything almost at your fingertips. If you have a computer or if you have a smartphone. We live in a world today in which people don't quite understand that if you don't get it right here and right now, it's going to be all right. But we weren't raised that way. We find that even within the text, that Christ was patient with us, even we were not patient with Christ or one another. For Paul was speaking to Timothy here in the letter of 1 Timothy 1:16, it says, "But for that very reason I receive mercy, so that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display the ultimate patience, making me an example to those who would come to believe in him for eternal life." Brothers and sisters, how patient are you? Are you the one where if you don't get things your way and in your time, you get upset, start kicking the dog, yelling at your mate, getting mad no matter where you go? Are we the type of people that when we've asked God for something, we want God to do it right here and right now, knowing that God works in God's own ways and in God's own time? Are we the type of people that can't wait for the next thing to come out because we'll be in line just to get it? Are we the type of people that we are so impatient that we will do anything to anybody to get our own way? We find out even now, sadly, there was a story some time ago, well, actually just recently ago, of a young man who was driving down the street and accidentally cut off somebody else. The person that he cut off followed him, got out of the car, shot the person dead. We find out that people can't wait. We need to have it right here and right now. But yet one of the things that we fail to realize here in the world is that things come in God's time and not our own. See, we believe that we are the master of our fate and the captain of our soul. We believe that if we get it now, everything will be all right. But how many times have you asked God for something and it didn't come right now? Now, for some of us, it did come right now. Some of us, we ask God for something and boom, it just happens right there. You've seen something, you received something from somebody, you got a little money, and it happened. But there are other times in which we, as a people of God, are still asking God for something and it still hasn't come. We're still asking for God to do something with the government in which we live in today. Maybe that someday we'll get some relief from those who live in Washington, D.C. and those who are in Congress. We live in a day in which we find out we've prayed over and over again, God, do something that will help our people. We've prayed over and over again, God, I don't like this diagnosis that's been given. Maybe you can do something about it. We have seen over and over again, God, can you help me because I don't have any money? And we're still waiting for God to send something. We're still asking God, God, help me out because the relationship in which I'm in is not working out. But we're still going back home every day. We find out, brothers and sisters, that having patience is not easy. Being able to be long-suffering, being able to do endure, being able to keep putting up with what you already got is not easy. But yet we do believe in a God that when we ask God, God does answer our prayer. We do believe in the one that when we are impatient, that God is infinitely patient with us. We believe that yet as we continue to live our lives and we find out as God's Holy Spirit is touching us through the fruit of the Spirit of patience and allow it to melt and to mold us, that we will come to understand that eventually it's not about us. It's about God. It's not about our time. It's about God's time. It's not about what we want, but it's what Christ wants for us. Because let's face it, a lot of things that we ask him for, we don't need. You ever look back in your life, you asked for something and glad you didn't get it now? Did you ever know that God hears the cries of all God's people as we hear it in Nehemiah? And sometimes we will turn our back, but the God that we serve is still infinitely patient with us, still loves us, because we can do some crazy stuff, can we not? And if we look back at our lives and review what we have done. We thank God that God has brought us out. Because of some of the crazy stuff we have done because of our impatience. If it wasn't for God, we probably wouldn't be here right now. But it is God who still loved us and still walks with and still patient, still keep putting up. Look, we have a God that keeps putting up with us, and we keep doing the same thing every day. The same thing every day. We say that, God, you know, we're not going to do anything wrong tomorrow. We get up, walk up late. What's the first thing out of our mouth? It's not Jesus. It's some other word. We say that, God, help us out as we go to work because I don't want to deal with this person I'm working with. And you try to be nice to him. You say, I'm going to be nice to him today. If they come over and look at you wrong, you're going to do something different. We find out, brothers and sisters, that as human beings, we just don't have a whole lot of time to wait on people. We don't have a whole lot of patience. And then deal with people that we don't like? Oh, Jesus, that's like asking us to do something monumental. But God still loves us. God still walks with us. Think about this God who is so merciful and gracious to us, even when in the midst of all of our sin, that God still loves you. That's a patient God. That's a loving God. That's a wonderful God who still continues to walk with us even in our impatience. And yet the other thing about patience helps us to endure. You see, if you look at the life of Jesus Christ, Jesus went through a lot for us, did he not? Was born to a single woman for the most part. Was born into a town of Nazareth that wasn't the best. Was born into a situation in which there was all types of things going on. And as he ministered to people, people were coming to him from all types of ways and all different types of lifestyles and all different types of religions. But yet God touched each and every one of them through Christ. We find out here that Christ hung out with people that those who were his followers didn't want him to hang out with. We find out that Christ was talked about, he was maligned, he was accused unjustly and hung and died for us. You see, Jesus Christ went through a lot for us. And in the same way, if we know that Christ has been through a lot, we know that we go through a lot here in life. Look over at your life. And remember what God has done for you and how God has brought you out. Some of us here can remember that we didn't have now what we have. We didn't have back then what we have now. Some of us here was not born with nice houses. We weren't born with disposable money. And you can define disposable money however you want. But you know it's a whole lot more than what you had when you grew up. We were not born into families that were the best of all situations. We were not born into educational school systems that treated everybody equally. We were not born into places where you could just go wherever you want around town, but you better be back by a certain point in time or you couldn't cross the tracks. We were born into situations that if we look back on our lives now, we think, how in the world did we make it on over? That we still believed in a God who still loved us. And some of us right now are going through a whole lot, even as we speak. Oh, yes, we look nice. You look pretty in your dress or your suit. You got your hair made up. You got your makeup on and your nice shoes. And you look good here. But what happens when you get back home? What happens when it's all alone? What happens when you don't know what to do? And sometimes we just come to church just because we don't want to be alone or don't want to deal with the issues that we have within our own personal lives. We go through a lot. And not to mention, if you think we go through a lot as human beings, what do we go through as African-American people each and every day? A friend of mine, the former moderator, co-moderator of the church, Tanya Denise Anderson, had posted on Facebook this morning. She went to some civil rights museum. I cannot remember exactly where it was now, but it talked about and had these plaques all over the wall about African Americans who had been lynched. And each of the placards talk about how they've been lynched. And some of them had been lynched for nothing. And she talked about how even today, as African Americans, what we have to endure just to get up and to live and breathe every day. And some of these placards talk about this one African American was hung just because he did not address a white man as Mister. Another person was hung or lynched because they said something wrong to a young woman. Another person was lynched because he was telling a young man that you can't have this shovel, I'm working with it. And he was hung just for that. We find that even today, brothers and sisters, it may not be a physical lynching, but we still sometimes do go through a mental and emotional lynching here in America. We still have to endure some things because of the color of our skin or maybe the gender of our humanity. We still find out that, brothers and sisters, we still go through a lot. And look, we go through a lot and still going through a lot. It takes energy every day. It takes not only personal energy, it takes emotional energy and spiritual energy just to deal with the things that we have to go through every day. And some people just don't understand. Some people don't understand what their privilege is and how they deal with it. But yet, despite all of that, we could still hold out. And the reason why we hold out is because our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because if we have been through something, we know that God has already been through Christ, who has died, who has been resurrected, and he still lives for us today. For yet, it tells us, even in the text, that let love be genuine, hate what is evil, hold fast to what is good, love one another with mutual affection, outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal, be ardent in spirit, serve the Lord, rejoice in hope, be patient in suffering, persevere in prayer. That's what it tells us in the book of Romans as Paul was writing to the Roman people. That, brothers and sisters, no matter how much we go through, as people of God, we've got to be patient because you're going to go through some things. You're going to go through times in which you don't have any money. You're going to go through times in which the doctor is going to tell you something that you don't like. We're going to go through fights. You're going to go through arguments. You're going to go through despair. You're going to go through depression. You're going to go through people talking about you. But you know what? We could hold out because Christ has been through it first. One of the great fallacies that people will tell me about marriage is that we can make it through anything. Yeah, you can. But you're not going to make it by yourself. You better look to Jesus first. Because there's a whole lot of things that you thought you've talked about with me now. There's a whole lot of things we haven't even covered yet. You just keep on, as the old people say, you just keep on living. You'll find out. You're going to find out what it means to be patient in Christ and to hold on to God's unchanging hand, knowing that God can walk with you through everything that you go through within your life. But it's not going to be easy. Matter of fact, it might be downright painful. But yet, let us know that whatever pain we go through, Christ has faced it first and has come through it just on our behalf. And yet, brothers and sisters, as we find out that we can wait and we can endure, patience makes us untroubled. You know what it's like because Christ has been through it for us. You say, you know, if Christ can go through it, you have the confidence that you can go through it. That we don't have to be troubled. That the world's troubles will not make an impact within our lives because we have our peace, not in what the world gives us. We have our peace and patience in Christ. You see, that's what it's all about. Patience, brothers and sisters, is the fruit of God. We're not patient. We want it today. And y'all leave this to y'all. You'll leave here today talking about, oh Lord, I don't know what Reverend Wade's talking about. I'm just not a patient person. It's just not going to work out for me. That's just the way I'm wired. That's the way my mama was. That's the way my daddy was. Whatever the case may be, and that'll be fine. But you know what? Patience is what's going to get you through. Because we can't get anything at any time the way we want it. It is through the will of God working within our lives, helping us to endure, strengthening us for the days ahead, knowing that if I could wait, I can see what's going to happen on the other side, and if I can see what's going on the other side, I can make it. It's like a runner running out there. If you've been a runner before, you know that there's a starting point and there's an end point. And you know to get from A to B, you got to run. And as you are making your way around that track, coming down the home stretch. You've been through something. Your body gets tired. Your breathing gets short. People are hollering for you. But you know what? You can make it because there is an end line. There is a finish. Brothers and sisters, we got to be patient, knowing that God has the end line and the end time for us. And if we're able to look at it that way, knowing that we can see what God has for us at the end, no matter what we've been through, all the race of this life, we can make it. Because we serve a God who loves us. Develop the fruit of patience. For if we are able to do so, we can wait, we can endure, we can be untroubled, and we can be strengthened for the days ahead. Amen. Amen.